I really believe that Paul and the other apostles would have translated out of this world if it had not been for the pressures that God let them be under. Even under the pressure that Paul had to minister under, with Satan aggravating him, a thorn in the flesh, even with that, he was caught up into the third heavens and saw things that wasn't permitted for him to speak. And other great men ministered under such pressure, yet they still went into the heavenlies. And just think what it would have been like if there was no pressure, nothing to hinder or aggravate their faith. So then God, He knows what He's doing. He knew that Paul had such tremendous faith until He let him have a thorn in the flesh, let a messenger of the devil, just a demon spirit, come just to aggravate him. Always something to aggravate him. You ever had something just to aggravate you? You know, a devil is like a flea on a dog. He'll jump over this person, and this person will aggravate you, and this situation will aggravate you. And about the time you get that conquered, and over here, the devil will jump on somebody else or into something else, and that'll start aggravating you, knowing just something all the time. But the Lord suffered that to be. Paul said one time, he said, Lord, I'd like for you to move this thing. But God said, now look, Paul, my grace is sufficient. I know what I'm doing. You understand what I'm saying? Now, Paul, I know what I'm doing. And so then when Paul caught the revelation, he said, folks, he said, I'll tell you what. He said, lest I be exalted but above measure. He said, there was given unto me a thorn in the flesh. See, the Lord kept Paul humble. If it had not been for the thorn in the flesh, Paul would have been exalted above measure because he said it was for my much revelation. I had learned so much, he said, about heavenly things that I'd just be exalted above measure if it wasn't for the devil hounding me all the time and causing something to happen to me. But see, about time that thing began to work and Paul began to think about them heavenly things and feel good and realize how great and powerful and mighty he was and how close to God he was and that he was the Son of God and he owned heaven and earth and everything. And about that time, the devil would hit him, you know, and they'd give him about 2 years in prison. He'd come dragging out of that prison after a few months or a year or so, you know, and he had to build back up all over again. But God always kept Paul humble. It might have taken a shipwreck. It might have taken when they stoned him over there. It might have taken many other things, you know, to keep Paul humble. But the Lord knows how to do it. Is that right? We got some brethren here that are moving on in God. And I notice that the Lord blesses them. But every now and then when I feel them kind of getting, you know, the old saying is too big for their britches, God begins to let a little something happen to them and they humble down, you know. If it wasn't for that, some of them would kind of lord over you. They wouldn't mean to, but they get to feeling their strength. You know, it's like a dad playing around with a little child. He gets to feeling his strength, and he's liable to hurt him. Isn't that right? So then God lets a little something happen to these that are growing up so that they'll humble their hearts a little bit, and that way they don't hurt the children. They kind of simmer down and feel the infirmities of the little ones. All right, so this is a great salvation, a great and a mighty thing, and I'm so thrilled about it. I love the Lord with all of my heart, soul, mind, body, and strength. And I am so thrilled because I have seen so many wonderful things. And I have realized the greatness of being a Christian. I have realized the greatness of being a Christian and the greatness of having eternal life. I have come to the place in my lifetime to where I know that death has no power over a son of God. I know that death cannot conquer, death cannot hold, death hath no power over a son of God. I've come to the knowledge of God and the understanding of God to know that it is conquered, how it was conquered, when it was conquered, the way that God conquered it, and what we have to do to be partakers of the benefit of it. And I tell you what, when you come to that and you see that and you know that, there is nothing in all of the world that's equal to it. There's nothing that's like it. There's nothing to be compared with it. And I can truthfully say from the bottom of my soul that that is the truth. I do know, I've seen it, and it is so wonderful. But God constantly lets something happen to me. Constantly lets somebody aggravate me. Constantly lets something happen all the time so that He can always just cause my mind to detour just a little bit in this direction or that direction to keep me from just shooting out of the rocket, as we say. Because as sure as you live, I can go right straight on into heaven. I've seen this thing. I know what it is. I know the way. And because I know the way, then God has allowed things to aggravate me. Many years ago, I said, Lord, I said, I wish that you'd do something. I said, the devil aggravates me all the time, everywhere, all the time. I wish you'd do something. And the Lord said, that's all right. I know what I'm doing. You just do what I tell you to do. And I began to realize what the Lord was trying to say to me. All right. It's wonderful to be a Christian. In the book of Mark, if you've got your Bibles, I'd like for you to read with me. In the third chapter of the book of Mark, beginning at the first verse. You know the vision I had the other night while I was down in Puerto Rico. For just a little bit, I went right on then. The power of God was so strong and so mighty, I went right on then. I've had it to come into my room so mightily until it looked like I was coming out of my very flesh. Chapter 3, the first verse, and he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand, and they watched him whether he would heal him on the Sabbath day, that they might accuse him. And he saith unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day, or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked round about on them with anger, being grieved with the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. And the Pharisee went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy him. But Jesus withdrew himself with his disciples to the sea, and a great multitude from Galilee followed him, and from Judea, and from Jerusalem, and from Idumea, and from beyond Jordan, and they about Tyre and Sidon. A great multitude, when they had heard what great things he did, came unto him. And he spake to his disciples that a small ship should wait on him because of the multitude, lest they should throng him. For he had healed many, insomuch that they pressed upon him for to touch him, as many as had plagues and unclean spirits. When they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God. And he straightly charged them that they should not make him known. And he goeth up into a mountain and calleth unto him whom he would. And they came unto him, and he ordained 12 that they should be with him, and that he might send them forth to preach and to have power to heal sicknesses and to cast out devils. Now, you know, one of the things that is emphasized here in the reading of the Scripture is the power to cast out devils. This morning we read a little bit about the casting out of devils. And in the evening, just before service time, we were in the office of Brother Mitch back here, and Brother Taylor was reading about a brother over in Africa that God had given the power to cast out devils. Brother Billy James Hargis had wrote an article concerning him, and he was telling of one astounding instance where he had cast out some devils and was relating to the people the things that these devils said as they talked back to him. You know, devils will talk back to you. Now, I don't know whether you've ever heard devils talk or not, but I have. I've heard devils talk. And I tell you what, it's kind of a weird feeling when you hear devils talk unless you really have a conviction in God and you really believe that you have faith and have the power over demon spirits. A person that doesn't have any power over demon spirits ought not never to mess with demon spirits. You know that? If you're not filled with the Holy Ghost, you should not go around trying to cast out devils. You remember the men that went to try to cast out the devils, and they said, we adjure you by the Christ that Paul preaches to come out. The Bible said the man in whom the devils were overcame the men that tried to cast them out and tore the clothes off of them, and those men fled, went into the city because they had been abused by the devils. So then, if you want to do something for God, then you need to be filled with the Spirit of God. We preached a sermon not too long ago where the Bible says that the Spirit driveth Jesus into the wilderness, and then Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. That's what we need to do, is come to the power of the Spirit. I preach this morning on that which is more needful. You know, Paul one time spoke of having the power of God in our life and of having the understanding of God. And he said, I show unto you a more excellent way or a more excelling way, and that is go about it through the love of God. Follow after the love of God. Don't follow after gifts. But Paul said, follow after the love of God. Faith worketh by love. The gifts work by faith. Follow after the love of God. So then if we want power in our life, we can have power. The Bible tells us after that the Holy Ghost comes upon you, then shall you receive power, and ye shall be witnesses for me. If a person hath the Holy Ghost, they have power. How do you know that? Those that have the Holy Ghost, they have power in their life. See, when you receive the Holy Ghost is power. How do you believe that the Holy Ghost is power? How do you believe that you got the Holy Ghost? Let me see your hand. All right, that means that you're telling me that you believe that you got power. Is that right? Raise your hand. All right, then you've got power. What kind of power have you got? You got power over death. Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. First of all, the major thing that we have power over is power over death. Power over the grave. We have power over death. If we don't have power over death, then we've not received the Holy Ghost. We are not yet translated into the kingdom of God if we don't have power over death. One of the first things that the Lord tells us in His Word is that we know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. In other words, the first thing He tells us is we know that we pass from death unto life, that we have power over death. That's the first thing He tries to indoctrinate us with, is that we have power over death. Paul said, all of my life I was subject to the bondage of fear of death because I had not passed from death unto life. But he said, when I was filled with the Spirit of God and I came into the place that God wanted me in, he said, after that I didn't have any more fear of death because I know that I have pass from death unto life. I don't fear death, and I'm sure that you don't fear death. That is, you that have been born again. But I can truthfully say that before I become a Christian, before I really got into God, I really feared death. Every time I would think about death, it'd just do something to me. Somebody would say, it'd make goose pimples rise up on me. I'd always get disturbed when I think about dying. I never liked the idea of dying at all. But when I came to know God and I came to realize that I passed from death unto life, after that, death doesn't bother me anymore. I've been down to death's door many times. I've been near death, but death doesn't bother me. Death doesn't have any power over me. Why should it bother me? In other words, why should I worry over something that hath no power over me? Rather than death having power over me, I have power over death. So then, why should I spend my time in fear worrying about something that I have power over? Now then, I have power over that. Not only that, but the Bible said when the Holy Ghost comes upon you, you shall receive power. And then you shall be my witnesses. Wherever you go, you shall be my witnesses. You know, I've had the privilege of witnessing for God across the great United States, in Mexico, in Canada, and different parts of the world. I've had the privilege of witnessing for God. And I've run up against many powers and many oppositions and many troubles, but in every instance God always helped me to overcome those evil influential powers. Everything that we've ever encountered, God gave me power over it, and we were able to rise above everything, every opposition that we have ever met. And I believe that as we go on serving God, that it'll always be that way. I believe that as long as I live in this world, that God will give me the power over all the powers of opposition to where I can live an overcoming life and do the thing that God has ordained for my life. So then Jesus here, He gave them power. He said, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. I read that to you this morning. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. hurt you. Nothing shall hurt you. I give you power over sickness. I give you power over death. I give you power over poverty. I give you power over insanity. I give you power over fear. I give you power over everything that nothing can hurt you. I'll make your enemies to be at peace with you if your ways please me. Behold, I give you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. You know, until we rise up into a place with God to where we accept that and to where we believe that, we're not living an overcoming life. I can never do anything for God until I accept the fact that God is with me and that God has given me power over all situations. The opposition that we met while we were here in Monroe, from the time that we came to Monroe, we started to meeting opposition. We met everything. Opposition from everything, from the news medias to the police. But we didn't run. We didn't leave. We didn't get afraid. We stood our grounds and spoke our peace in the name of Jesus, and we overcame every obstacle. You know, we could have gotten afraid. We could have run. The Bible teaches that the hireling fleeth. When the wolf cometh, the hireling, he fleeth, because the sheep doesn't belong to him. But the Bible said the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. And you can tell whether or not a man is a real true shepherd, because in his heart he will have Christ. And the true shepherd, the good shepherd, the shepherd to whom the sheep belong, lives in the heart of a true pastor, a true minister. And that pastor will not run. That pastor will stay right there with the sheep. That pastor will fight right down to the end, because he loves the sheep. See, the hireling will flee, but the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Isn't that right? Now, that's what we ought to do. That's the kind of outlook that we ought to have. Every individual ought to feel that way. We ought to stand up for God. We ought to have faith in God. And we ought to believe God. And we ought to stand up against the powers of opposition and say, we are the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the body of the Lord Jesus Christ is the good shepherd. And we're going to stand for the sheep. That's what we ought to do. All right, so it's so wonderful to know that God has given us power over all the powers of the enemy, that nothing shall hurt us. The only way that the devil can defeat you or me is for us to submit ourselves unto him. Why should I then submit myself unto the powers of Satan? Why should I then yield my members unto Satan? Why should I yield my mind unto Satan? You know, a lot of people are harassed all the day long. All day long, their minds are continually hampered by the powers of the devil. And the devil is continually beating them down in their thinking. All day long, he does this. And they, through fear and frustration, yield their members and yield their mental faculties to the powers of Satan. Instead of resisting the devil, instead of saying, get thee behind me, Satan, and instead of pushing out for God, they yield themselves to those fears and to those frustrations. You know, if you yield your body to sickness, then sickness is going to take control of it. If you yield your body to death, death is going to take control of it. If you yield your mind and your spirit to fear, fear is going to take control of it. If you yield your body, your spirit, your mind to the things of this world, to the lust of the flesh, to the desires of the lust that wars in your members, that lust is going to take control of you. And the Bible tells us that to whomsoever we yield our members, his servants we are. Whether to God and to righteousness and life, whether our members are yielded to Satan, lust, and unto death. So then we don't have to yield to anything but God. Hallelujah. I love to think about the power of God. I give you power, Jesus said, over all the powers of the enemy. Hallelujah. Don't you feel the power of God? The power of God, you have the power of God over all the powers of the enemy. You don't have to yield to the things of this world. All you've got to do is go God's way and do God's thing. You know, the trouble is, a lot of times we want to do is we say our own thing. Isn't that right? See, we can't be satisfied with doing the things of God. We want to do our own way. We want to go our own way and do our own thing. But you know, if we'll yield our members to God, then God will make us a God man. You know, isn't that a wonderful thought? See, you walk down the street. And as you walk down the street, you got that wonderful feeling about you. You walk down the street and you say, oh God, I have power over all the powers of the enemy. I have the power to conquer. I have the power to overcome. And you walk hand in hand with Jesus. Hallelujah. And while other people are all frustrated and sick and having problems, you just walk right on triumphantly and gloriously victorious in the things of God. Hallelujah. When sickness comes knocking on your door and you feel so weary and you feel dizzy and you feel faint and your heart starts hurting and you feel like you got a lump between the heart and the backbone that you can't get out, you know. And the devil says, boy, you've had it. You're going to die. You just say, glory to God, to live is gain, or to die is gain, but to live is Christ. Hallelujah. If I die, I'll go to be with God. But if I live on, I'll do something for Christ. And you say, devil, I don't believe anything you've got to say. Hallelujah. I don't believe anything you've got to say. And you just keep right on walking. If the pain starts, you just keep right on walking. You know, I've had pains to hit me, and I'm sure you have, that would almost buckle my knees under me. That's right. And I've had things that hit me that would last for days, lock me up in here in my heart and in my chest. You know, but I just keep right on walking. And the devil will say, oh boy, you've had it. I'd say, devil, I'm sorry, but I don't have time to die. I'm too busy right now for God. Amen. You've told the devil that. I said, I'm too busy for God right now to die. Get up from here and get behind me, Satan. I told him that. I've been on my bed, you know, and been sick, nigh to death, and the devil would come into the room, and you could feel the presence of death come in the room, and you knew there was death. Then you wax bold in the Spirit of God, and you say, death, you don't have any power over me. Oh, you say, you can't do that, Brother Pike. Yes, you can do that. I've done that. I know you can do it. See, and death comes into the room, the chilly hands of death reaches out for you. You say, Satan, get thee behind me. I've got things to do for God. Hallelujah. You know, the patriarchs of old, they didn't just let the devil come and jump on them and kill them. They didn't do that. They had a job to do for God. They'd done their work. They finished their job. When they finished their job, then they'd lay down and they'd say, Lord, I'm fixing to come home. Open the door. Off they would go. Isn't that right? They'd call their children around. They would talk to their children like Jacob did. And he'd say, look, fellas, I finished my course. Everything's all taken care of now, and I'll see you over on the other side. That's what Paul said. See, Paul stood up and said, I finished my course. I fought a good fight. I've run the race. I've kept the faith. And he said, I'll see you over on the other side. Glory to God. That's the way it should be with Christians. Because we have power over all the powers of the enemy. Don't let the devil defeat you. Don't let him cast you down and cause you to be afraid and miserable and trembling and shaking all the time. And every time the ill winds of poverty begin to blow, you get nervous, you know, and say, oh my God, I'm going to lose my car, I'm going to lose my house, I'm going to lose my health, I'm going to lose my family, I ain't going to have nothing to feed them. I don't know what to do. Don't do like that. Just rise up and say, the Bible said that I would above all things that you prosper. And by the help of God, I'm looking for prosperity in God. Hallelujah. And when the ill winds of sickness begin to blow and you feel defeated and you feel cast down and it looks like you can't do nothing, just raise up in faith and say, the Bible says, hallelujah. You know, that's what the devil don't like. Isn't it right? When the devil would come around Jesus in the wilderness there and begin to hound him, Jesus would say, Satan, it is written. And the devil would get on his way. That's what we need to do, is say that it's written. Most of the time when the devil comes around, we start complaining, we start mumbling, we start grumbling, we start finding fault. Everything begins to happen to us. The reason is because we give up our faith. See, taking the shield of faith that you might be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. Is that right? So then, God doesn't want us to yield our faith. He doesn't want us to do that. I can take my faith in God, I can take a shield, and I can walk up in the face of the devil, and I can say, Satan, you can't do a thing. You can't do a thing. I've had the devil to challenge me many times in my life, many times. I've had him to challenge my life, challenge my family. I've had him to challenge my finance. I've had him to challenge everything. And many a time I've told him, I said, okay, Satan, if you think you're so great and you're so mighty, do what you can do. I challenge you in Jesus' name to do it, you liar. You ever told him that? That's right. You know, he'll keep hounding you and hounding you. He'll say, get on away from here. Satan, leave me alone. You're aggravating me. I'm trying to get something done. He just hounds you and hounds you. I'll do this and I'll do that and I'll huff and I'll puff and I'll blow your house in. Isn't that right?
Right.
Have you ever remembered that little story? You know, that goes way back, don't it? And them little fellas, according to the little tale, you know, they just shivered, you know. When the old wolf, according to the story, said, I'll blow your house in, it just quivered all over. Didn't they? So he huffed and puffed and blowed it in. That's what the story said. But according to the little story, he came over to one place, and the fella had built out a brick. And when he started to holler about huffing and puffing and blowing the house in, you know what I told him? He said, go on, huff and puff, I don't care. And the Bible, the story, I have to keep the right place here. The story said he huffed and he puffed, but he didn't blow the house in. That's the way the devil is. He'll huff and he'll puff, but he can't blow the house in. Found it on the rock for Christ. Glory to God, built on a rock and the winds can't get it. Let him huff and let him puff. Let the devil do what he wants to, but he can't touch you. You know, he keeps hounding you, he keeps bothering you, he keeps aggravating you. And after a while, you just finally, you know, you feel, you say, well, just go on, Satan, leave me alone. Leave me alone. Oh, leave me alone. Let me do what I got to do. And finally, you know, you just turn around and say, look, I challenge you in the name of Jesus. You've been challenging me and you've been huffing and puffing. Now I challenge you, you do what you said you could do. I don't believe you can do it. You ever told him that? So help me God, I told him that. I've looked at him, as we say, right square in the face. I said, you've huffed and you've puffed and you've threatened. Now I challenge you in Jesus' name. Let me see you do it. I said, you ain't got the power to do it. And you know what happens? He leaves. He leaves. When you call his bluff, he leaves. Hallelujah. Knowing that we're sons of God and we have power over the power of the enemy. That we can rise up and take the kingdom and go on and do something for God.
Hallelujah.
Behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy. Brothers and sisters, I'd love to see the brethren here at Little Bethlehem strong in God. Be strong in faith. Look at Abraham. The Bible said Abraham was strong in faith. He was strong in faith. Isn't that something? He didn't weaken. He didn't think about the situation or the condition of the body, or he didn't think about the circumstantial environments. He didn't think about that. He just looked at the Word of God. Isn't that right? Look at Peter walking on the water. What happened to him when he looked at the circumstantial environment? Didn't he go down? Didn't he? He had his mind on the Word, had his eyes on the Word. Nothing was going wrong. But the very minute that Peter considered the environment, his mind got carnal. The supernatural left and Peter started down. But old brother Abraham didn't do that. The Bible said that Abraham was fully persuaded that what God had promised he was able also to do.
Amen.
I am fully persuaded, Abraham said. God, you said it. I believe it. It must come to pass. And there was Sarah. She believed it too. I know a lot of people say, well, Sarah didn't believe, but she must have. It happened according to the angel's word. Now, I know she might have got off track a little bit, but God still honored her faith. Old brother Abraham, the Bible said that he considered not the deadness of Sarah's womb, nor yet the deadness of his body. But he believed the promise of God. And when God spoke, he renewed his youth in God, and Sarah renewed her youth in God, and the promise of God came to pass. Don't that make you feel good? Hallelujah! They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their youth, renew their strength in God, and do something for Christ Jesus. So then Abraham, he just went about confessing the word of God. I'm sure people must have laughed at him as they did Noah. Going about, and Abraham said, you know what? You know what? It's going to happen. It's going to happen. He said, you don't believe that. Yes, I believe it's going to be just exactly that way. I'm sure that year after year, somebody must have mocked him, you know, and said, you still believe it, huh, Abraham? I believe it just like God said it. And probably a few years later, you know, they mocked him and said, you don't really believe that, Abraham? Look at all the days that's gone by, the months and the years gone by. Well, Abraham said, it'd be just exactly like God said, just exactly that way. Strong in faith, hallelujah, giving glory to God. Being fully persuaded that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Are you fully persuaded, brothers and sisters? You know, I believe this is the trouble, Bill. I believe we're not fully persuaded a lot of times in God's Word. I know that we believe, but I'm convinced that sometimes we have a partial conviction and we're not fully persuaded in what God's trying to tell us. I must become fully persuaded in God. I can't be partial in the Word of God, but I must become fully persuaded that what God has told me that is going to happen just exactly the way that God told me. I must believe it just the way that God said it. I can't alter the Word of God. I can't change the Word of God. I must believe it God's way. When the Lord said to Peter, Peter, he said, what has been done to this tree? He said, you can do that and even greater things. Peter said, Lord, said, did something happen out of the ordinary here? He said, this tree is dying from the roots. Well, you know a tree doesn't die that way. You know the sap backs down out of a tree and a tree dies from the top down. Isn't that right? But Peter said, this tree is dying from the roots. Something happened to this tree. This is not a natural thing. Jesus said, Peter, don't marvel at that. He said, just remember, Peter, you got faith in God. Said, see that mountain over there? Said, Peter, just tell it to get out of the way and believe it and don't doubt and see what should happen. Say, Peter, pluck that by the roots and plant it in the sea. And said, see if it don't do just exactly what you tell it to do. See, Peter, whatever I say unto you, that whatever you ask in Jesus' name, whatever you say and believe in your heart, and don't doubt, he said, this thing that you say will come to pass. Now, isn't that wonderful? Isn't that a challenge? Now, you say, Brother Pike, I believe every word of it. Do you really believe every word of it? When we say, God, do a thing, don't doubt if it takes a day, week, a month, a year. Don't doubt, believe God. God will do it. God will do it. How many believe that Abraham had faith in God? Do you believe he had faith in God? Why didn't it happen time he said it? Come on now. Why didn't it happen when God said, Abraham, it will happen? Why didn't it happen right then and there? Because God didn't say it would happen right then and there. See, faith in the Word of God. What does the Word say? You can't believe just the way you want to believe. You've got to believe according to the Word of God. What the Word says, that's what you got to believe. Abraham listened to what God said, what God's Word said. And what did God's Word say? I will return according to the time of life. Isn't that right? That's what it was. It was the time of life that God had chosen. I will return to Sarah according to the time of life, and she shall bear a son. And it happened. Oh, now somebody would say, now wait a minute, Brother Pike, what do you mean by that? Now, the time of life came upon Sarah as it would any woman many times. Did you know that? Many times before the child ever came. Is that right? Many times. But the only thing was, she was past barren. So at the time of life, there was nothing that could take place. God had a designated time. And then at the time of life, Sarah renewed her youth and God kept his promise.
Praise the Lord. Amen.
That's the way I see it. That's the way I believe it. Whatever God tells me, I believe it just exactly the way he says it, without any changes, without any alterations. It doesn't matter what anybody thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody says. God said it. I believe it. That's the way it is. God said, I will hasten to perform my word. My word will not return unto me void. It will accomplish that I please and prosper in that whereunto I have sent it. All right, so then we see a mighty thing. If I can believe in my heart, whatever you say, it will happen. Whatever you say, if I can believe in my heart, whatever you say, it will happen. You know, you go through life, and a lot of times you ask amiss. It doesn't happen. A lot of times you desire and it doesn't happen. And you ask amiss and it doesn't happen. The Bible said you ask and receive not because you ask amiss to consume it on your own lust. Is that right? And it doesn't happen that way. So then you say, well, God just didn't keep his word. That's all it is to it. Now you know better than that. Somebody said, well, God kept his word, but I just didn't have any faith. Now, it couldn't be that way either. Come on now, one error is just as bad as another. One extreme is just as bad as another. You say, God didn't keep His word. If God had kept His word, it would happen just like it said. Then God's a liar, if that be true, and we might as well forget about serving God. Everybody's lost. Let's eat, drink, and be merry, because tomorrow we're going to die anyway. So that couldn't be true, could it? Somebody would say, well, I just don't have faith. That couldn't be true either. If you don't have any faith, that would still make God a liar. Isn't that right? Because the Bible teaches that we are saved by faith, and you say that you are a child of God, that you've been saved by the grace of God and by faith in God. All right, if you're saved, then you've got faith. If you've got faith, then that settles it. You're wrong when you say it was because I didn't have faith. Now, what is it? There has to be an answer to it. You know, what we should do is believe. We should believe. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are, we should believe. We should never yield our faith. The Bible said, cast not away thy faith, which hath great recompense of reward. Don't ever cast your faith away. Never. Stay with your faith. Stay with the Word of God. Whatever the Word of God says, you believe it. No matter what anybody says, no matter what the situation is, you believe it anyway. Stay with God's Word. If God's Word says a thing, stay with it. Believe it anyway. Believe it anyway. See, we should never yield our faith, because our faith will bring it to pass. Our faith will bring it to pass. Somebody say, well, why doesn't it happen? It does happen. It's happened to me over and over and over. And it's still happening to me. Now, so then when we meet these oppositions in life, when we meet these problems in life, and the thing doesn't happen the way we think it ought to happen, it's because we have asked amiss to consume it on our own lust. Isn't that right? A lot of times we would like to have new automobiles. We would like to have a new home. We'd like to have a big bank account. We'd like to have more money. We'd like to have a greater income. We'd like to have a big tent. We'd like to have television programs. We'd like to see the sick heal and the great miraculous take place. We'd like to do that. We'd like to do that, because that's what we would like to consume on our list. We would love to be some big something everybody would look at, you know. Asking amiss that we might consume it on our own lust. In other words, that's our desire. Is that right? If we have the wrong frame of mind, then we have that kind of desire. God isn't going to give it to us, because we are asking amiss to consume it on our own lust. But I'll tell you what, if we'll take it step by step and walk with God and believe God, God will do everything that we ask Him to do, and whatever we believe, God will bring it to pass. So then you have not because you ask. Now, a lot of people don't have because they never bother to ask. They don't have enough faith in God to even bother to ask God. And then some people ask, and they ask to consume it on their own lust, and they still don't get it. But then there are some people that ask, and they believe in God, and they trust in God, and they ask God to do it according to His plan and will, and God does it, and they enjoy the benefits of Christ. All right, so then it is such a wonderful thing to be a Christian. You know, if we could fathom this one thing, and I like to say this as we find a place to close here. If we could fathom one thing, and that is that there is a true and a living God. That God is resurrected from the dead. God is in our presence. God is in our heart. God is here every time we come together. God meets with us. How do you believe that God's here? I want to see your hand. The Bible said if just two come together, just two, that's all. He said if three come together, just two. If they come together in my name, there am I in the midst. Is that right? So then that means God is in the midst of us tonight. Is that right? If God is in the midst of us tonight, that means that when we come together, God is here. Is that right? Now, how many of us are yielded to God? Are you yielded to God? Am I yielded to God? Are we yielded to God? Are you yielded to God? Are you willing for God to do what He wants to do whenever He gets ready, at any time He desires? If you're not yielded to God in that way, then you're not a tool for God. You're not a vessel for God. It reminds me of a little poem that Kenny wrote and sent over here. I believe Susie had it. Oh, some kind of poem of how he had been the tool of the devil. Little Kenny that's in trouble, that's in prison right now, he has come to realize what a great mistake he hath made. And he wrote a little poem saying that he himself had been the tool of the devil, and he had yielded himself to the devil, and he said that he'd had to have a termination somewhere, that somewhere the devil would leave him and he would be able to testify and say that God had changed Kenny. So then if you're a tool of the devil, you're headed for trouble. But if you're a tool of God, then you want God's will to be done. You want to do it just the way God wants to do it. And you're contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. Are you contending for the faith? Contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints of God. So then, behold, I give unto you power over all the powers of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. I can believe tonight, you can believe tonight, and we can have the very best that God's got. I have to confess that I have the best that God's got. I have the best. I've been able to enjoy the very best that God has. He has given to me the very best. He has not held back anything from Him. The Bible tells us that if He hath given us Jesus Christ, His Son, through Calvary and through the death, that will He not freely with Christ Jesus give us all things? Hath He not freely given us all things in Christ Jesus? He hath freely given me all things. And my cup runs over because He hath freely given me all things in Christ Jesus. But there's one thing about it. We can only have what we accept, and we can only have what we believe and what we master, what we come to a confidence in God. According to our confidence, according to the strength of our believing, whether we are weak in faith, strong in faith, whether we are master in faith, whatever it is, that is the degree of the blessing of God that we have. Whatever measure that we have, according to the strength of our faith, that is what we have. So then it isn't because God hasn't ordained it. It isn't because you don't have faith, but it's because we, many times, don't have the strength that we need for our faith. See, building up your most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. The strength of your faith, being strong in faith. What kind of faith do I have? Is it weak faith? The Bible speaks of the brother that is weak in faith. Receive ye the weak brother. See, being weak in faith, not being weak in faith, being strong in faith. Then we do believe, but what is the strength of our believing? What is the conviction of our believing? You say, well, Brother Pike, I believe everything in the Bible. I'm sure that you do. I do too. But do you believe that with the strength of the Holy Ghost? Are you endowed with the Spirit of God, with the strength of God to believe that according to the Holy Scriptures? Do you? A baby has a strength. When you get to be a teenager has a strength. Isn't that right? And when you get to be a man has a strength. But it all is different. Is that right? I can be drinking wine and I can say, I've got wine. You know, somebody asked me today what I thought about the revelation and different ones having it. I said, well, if I gave somebody some wine, if it was just a little grape juice and had just a little bit of strength to it, I said, it'd still be wine. I said, and then if I had some wine and had a little more strength to it, I'd still be drinking wine. But I said, if I had some more wine and it was strong enough to knock me down, I'd still be drinking wine. That's the way it is with the revelation. You have the revelation, do you? According to your faith, so be it unto you. According to the strength of it, that's what it is. But I tell you what, that vision I had the other night, whatever kind of wine I had, it had some kick to it. It was going like this. I heard myself saying, come, Master, come, Master. I was saying it over and over. I just screaming out, come, Master, come, Master, come, Master. And it was just every which way the Spirit of God was quickening. And this is what I want. I want the strength of God, contending for the faith that was once delivered unto the saints of God. And they tell me that they took everything that Kenny had and shaved off his hair. But they said that they let him keep his prayer cloth. Let him keep maybe a Bible. You know, even the devils have respect to the Word of God. Coming to the close of a service, I want to pray for these people that are going to get these cloths. We'll pray over some here. I want you to pray with me? We'll anoint these and ask God to do something about it. You know, I wished you had the enthusiasm I'd like for you to have. I was preaching over to the brethren in Jamaica the other night. And, you know, it's sad to say, but those people were so hungry. When I say sad to say, I mean comparatively speaking, when I think about the people of America, they were so hungry that the anointing of God just literally rolled out of me. It was no problem to preach and just keep on preaching the anointing of God. But, you know, here in America, even in little Bethlehem, people scrutinize you and they're always questioning the anointing and the things of God in such a way. Until the Spirit of God, when it gets started and it really wants to do something, after a while it's just like pouring water on it, because you meet that old carnal reasoning and the Lord gets disgusted with it and just turns off the faucet. What did he mean when he said, "Thine iniquities have kept thee back from good things"? You know where iniquity is? It's in your thinking. It all started at the tree of knowledge. And it's been working ever since. And that old middle wall of reasoning between you and your soul of believing has kept you back from the good things of God. But you know what? Just because it's kept you back from the good things of God, I ain't going to let it keep me back from the good things of God. You know, if every Christian would purpose in their heart, you know, and say, "Well, it might have kept brother such and such or sister such and such back, but I ain't planning to let it keep me back." Just because they want a reason, just because they want to have their old carnal way and never fast and never pray and never seek God and never study the Bible and just be as carnal as they can be, I'm not going to be like that. And just because they want to reason all the time about is that right or can that be or was it that way, I'm not going to do that. I'm just going to believe God and do whatever God tells me. Not lean to my understanding, but believe in the Lord with all of my heart. I love to believe in God. I love to practice believing God. I love to practice thinking in the terms of Christianity and virtue. I love to practice believing God, and I love to practice thinking upon the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and growing bigger and greater and mighty and freer all the time in the things of God. That's the way I love to do it. I don't like to give any of my mind to evil, and in charity thinketh no evil. I don't like to give any of my thoughts to defeat, thoughts of defeat, thoughts of trouble, thoughts of worry, thoughts of oppression, thoughts of doubt, thoughts of fears, thoughts of despondency, thoughts of lust, thoughts of reasoning. I don't like to do that. I'd rather think on Jesus with all of my heart. To love Him with all of my mind. All of my mind. That means bring every thought into subjection to think something holy, something righteous, something faithful, something loyal, something beautiful, something virtuous, something lovely, Paul said. I love to give my thoughts to those kind of things. And that way, we have great faith in God. And God builds our faith more and more and more. And we're able to help the people more and more. All right, we're going to pray over these cloths. We're going to anoint these cloths and pray over them. Needless to say that there has been such wonderful reports from prayer cloths, not only from here, from Little Bethlehem, but other places around the world. So in such great measure that many people have found their healing, found their deliverance, and many people, when they would have despaired of life, took courage because they had a prayer cloth and remembered that this was given them by praying people. And when they begin to think of the prayers of the praying people standing behind them, and they begin to think of what God could do through prayer, and that they were partakers of it, in that they had these claws, all of a sudden the Spirit of God would come down and bring them deliverance. And many people have been delivered from different things because of that. Let's all stand together and let's pray. And let's ask God to do something outstanding that we might have the special blessings of God. I still believe the devil's a liar. I can tell some of you don't believe the devil's a liar. I can tell by your reasoning and the way you think as I pick up some of your thoughts that you don't believe the devil's a liar and you really don't have faith in God. But you know, there's a few of you. There's not a lot of you, but there's a few of you that I can pick up from you that you really do believe in God. You believe in God regardless. You believe God's Word regardless. No matter what, you believe God's Word. I can tell that. But there's some of you that are still in the realms of reasoning and you don't believe God's Word. And unless you do more than you're doing now, you'll never have that steadfast confidence in God. You'll never have it. But as I said, because you want to go that way, I don't want to go that way. I still intend to believe God. And while you're reasoning and while you're dying and going on to the grave and the skin worms are waiting to get you, I want to be going to India and Africa and South America and every other place preaching the gospel and winning souls and testifying of the glory of God and reaching out through radio and every other means to tell people about the love of God and see God do something wonderful throughout the world. You love Jesus? All right, let's pray together as we pray over these cloths and ask God to do something great and miraculous, something outstanding. Father of heaven, as I pray, I want you to stretch your hands up this way, if you will. By that, let me know that you're standing with me. Father of heaven, as we lay our hands upon these cloths, asking in the name of Jesus that you anoint these cloths, Father, may every one of these cloths be anointed tonight. May there not be a one of them, Holy Father, that goes without the anointing of God. And I pray thee, O Lord, according to the blood of your Son Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Father, may thy Spirit be upon these cloths. O Ramanda Ramashita Ramanda Rabasaya. May the Holy Ghost of God heal and forgive sin and break yoke and deliver from the powers of evil in the name of Jesus. May these cloths, Father, go out and may we get a good report, Father. Lord God of heaven, Lord, may faith be mixed with these prayer cloths and with the prayers of the praying people. And Father, may we know that Jesus hath done something great for these people. I'm asking you to do it in the name of Jesus. In the same Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead, I pray, Holy Father, shall quicken these people that receive these cloths and that they will be healed, that they will be forgiven, that they will be delivered, oh Lord, in such a way that the Prince of Peace will come into their hearts and into their homes and abide. May prosperity, health and blessings, salvation follow the prayers of these prayer cloths and people. In Jesus' name we ask it. Amen. You know, I really felt God, and I believe that God done exactly what we asked Him to do. And if Brother Taylor will come right here and give these to you as you come up here. Some of them were supposed to get some. They especially asked for these cloths. We've had numbers of people. They ask for prayer cloths all the time. And I forget. Many times I forget to give them to you. I'm sorry that I do. Because I believe in them. I carry one all the time in my billfold. I have one that I've had for many years in my billfold. And I believe in the prayers of the saints. And I believe that these prayer cloths, by having these with us, that they are a reminder to really help our faith, to really strengthen our faith. You know, if I could stand with my hands in the hands of a praying person all the time, when I had trouble, I could just push right on past it and would be so happy. But I thank God that even though I can't do that, I can take a prayer cloth with me. I can take a prayer cloth and I can keep this prayer cloth with me. And I challenge you to believe God. I challenge you to take one of these prayer cloths and take it to a loved one and believe God. I challenge you to believe God and see what God can do for you. Here, not too long ago, God let me know that unless He in some divine way could stir the faith of Johnny's daddy and somebody's faith in the behalf of Johnny's daddy, that he would die. But we begin to pray and Johnny began to believe. And we had a good report. though he was in intensive care and though he was dying and they felt like they couldn't do anything for him, yet because we prayed and believed, it wasn't long and he was up fishing and going on, and God blessed Johnny's daddy and he got along fine. Now, I'll have to pray for some more here because the sister that requested him didn't even get hers. Maybe the Lord did that to get us to pray over some more prayer clause here. They should be prayer clause prayed over all the time and going out by mail all the time to different people. Now you might not think the devil wars against things like this, but I know of a case where a devout man of God prayed over a handkerchief, and that handkerchief was given to a dying man. And would you believe that the devil somehow or another, through somebody, some way, stole that handkerchief and got it away from that man? The man died. They found out that the handkerchief had been taken away. I believe that if the handkerchief had remained, that something would have happened, that God would have undertaken. All right, you say, Brother Pike, surely you don't believe there's nothing special about a piece of cloth. I've said this before. The Bible, in one place, God speaking to Moses, said, Moses, take off your shoes. Said, you're standing on holy ground. I believe if God can make ground holy, he can make prayer cloths holy. How many believe that? I believe it. Now, I believe if we bless these prayer cloths, they're blessed. I believe it. All right, now we're going to pray again as I lay hands on them here. We're going to pray again and ask God to anoint these prayer cloths. Will you pray with me? Father of heaven, in the name of Jesus, Lord, you've made us holy in body and in spirit, and we're made out of the dust. Canst thou not also make the tabernacle holy? Canst thou not also make the temple holy and all that pertains to the tabernacle holy? Therefore, make these prayer cloths holy. Anoint them in the name of Jesus. Oh, Holy Father. Heal and save and forgive in the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name. Praise God. If Brother Taylor will give these out, I really feel God healing. I believe we'll get some good reports on these things because I believe God's healing. I have remembered where we sent out prayer cloths, and to the best of my remembrance, we got back report where cancer was healed, where people had cancer, and the doctors said it was healed, that it was gone. So that I believe whatever God tells us. I was asking Paul today about leprosy. How bad leprosy is over in India. And he was telling me that they do have cases of leprosy. And when we go over there, I would like to pray, you know. If you got some more here, Brother Taylor, we're still running short of prayer cloths. Okay, we're still running short of prayer cloths. We'll pray over some more here. I still feel the presence of God. Every time we prayed so far, I felt the anointing of God on them. And we'll pray some more here and ask God to do something with these prayer cloths. I guarantee if you'll watch and listen that you'll hear a report that'll come back from these prayer cloths where people got healed. If you don't believe it works, you just listen now to different ones as they get them and see if you don't get the reports of people being healed.